Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports, live from Las Vegas, Nevada, hosting tonight, myself, and we're missing one, so we're not going to get JJ tonight, the one and only, but we do have the man that's always on a mission, Mr. Gary Wyatt.
How you doing?
Great. How you doing?
Good.
Got my jacket on.
Yeah.
Heater just kicked on,
yeah.
I think.
A little warmer.
A little warmer. By the end of the show, we'll...
I can turn on the fan.
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Of course, special guest tonight, Mr. Dan Fitzgerald.
We That's made it right this time. Happy holidays, guys.
Glad you could make it this week. Hey, last week I said you were going to be in, and my mistake.
Oh, you were a week early?
Yeah, I was a week early. So.
All right.
So hopefully if anybody tuned in last week, they're not too mad that they... We'll tune in this week to catch some Dan Fitzgerald.
You can call in this week for Dan Fitzgerald.
There you go. Where is that number anyway?
I don't What's know. The Over number? There in JJ's pile.
Okay. He's got his own pile. I'll grab it here.
8116. I was getting there. I don't even know where mine is.
So, of course, JJ's out. Bonnie had surgery. Correct?
Yes, she did.
Yeah. So hopefully things are going okay. And
hopefully.
Have you heard from him?
Nope.
Oh, he texted earlier. Said he wasn't going to make it. So.
Oh. Good. Glad you got a text. I didn't. And if he thinks I care, I don't care.
Oh, man.
So.
I care.
I don't.
I care.
I don't.
You should care.
Nope.
Dan cares.
Of course. Dan always cares.
See, Dan's got to go through this every time he's out at the racetrack.
Yeah.
The season's coming up here. So I care. I don't care. So, of course, when's the last time you were on the show? This year you were on earlier before the race season,
yeah,
I believe.
It was a few months ago.
Yeah. In the middle of the race
middle
season.
Of the race season. Yep. So we get to catch up on some things with you, Dan. You got a little more gray hair than last time. I do
have a lot more gray hair.
So if you don't mind, we could ask you some questions about your dealings with your duties at the racetrack and so on.
Okay.
If you don't mind on stuff like that. So, but we'll get to you in a minute. I want to find out what Gary's been up to. How's your trip down to
Great.
Cal and Great. Family's doing good?
Yep. I took off here last Tuesday and came back on Saturday.
They didn't kick you out early or anything?
They wanted me to stay.
Oh, wow.
I had to work, so...
I'm sure Jay would be surprised. Somebody wanted you to stay.
Uh-huh.
Did you race anything while you were there?
No. Everything was closed.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Did you look to see if anything was...
Oh, yeah. Well, I was leaving Saturday, so...
Well, you could have stayed Mr. Knight if there's a race going on somewhere.
I could have. Nope. I got back on Saturday and worked on Sunday, and here we are today.
Wow. Busy.
So, yep.
He does that. Like, he'll leave late and drive a few hours to...
Yep. I get there at, 11:30.
Oh, that's good timing.
Yeah.
How long does it take?
I'm in a Dodge. I'm moving.
Like 90?
Nope.
You have to go 90 on the 15 between here and Southern California.
Or you get ran over.
Yeah, I was reading an article that it's the Autobahn of the USA.
No way.
Is what they call that.
Oh, yeah. No, matter of fact, I don't even think I cracked 80, even down the hill.
Wow. It's been a long time since I've been down that way.
Well, when you get out there and you're not running 75, 80, you get ran over.
Yeah, I was... Surprised you didn't get spun out. I feel like when I tow a trailer, because it's 55 for trucks and with trailers there, I feel like I'm a hazard if I'm going 60. I feel like I'm going to cause an accident behind me or something. But, if I go 61, I'm going to get pulled over and get the ticket.
Yeah,
support the good old California budget.
Oh, I got one of those this past weekend.
Uh-oh. California?
No, no, oh. It's in Nevada. Oh. We're keeping it in state.
Yeah.
Keeping it at home.
Yep, keeping it at home.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do. I mean, can they? Like,
yes, they can.
He's going this way. I'm going this way. He goes, you were going 92. I was like, oh, I didn't look. I didn't think I was going there. I thought I was going like 85. But.
You were going one way and he was going the other? You know, that happened to my brother. We were going to Havasu on January 1st to race down to a demolition derby. And he was on the 40 freeway and the cop was going one way and he was going the other. And the cop turned around and went and pulled him over.
That's what happened to me.
Told him, hey, next time wear your seatbelt. And gave him a ticket for no seatbelt.
What? That had to count, of course.
Yeah. Wow. Just right outside of Needles, or just almost into.
He's got good eyes, huh?
And it had a median in the middle, you know, out there on the 40 just before the river. Yeah.
That's a place where the cops always hang out, because when I race at Mojave Valley, they're always there waiting. They're always there waiting.
Yeah, and he told him, hey, I saw you from the other side. You didn't have a seatbelt on. He said, I got a seatbelt on. He said, you didn't.
How can they prove that, though? I bet I do now.
Yeah.
I did that.
He paid his fine and just went on about it. So.
Wow.
Yeah. They got better eyesight than you think, I guess.
All that for a seatbelt ticket.
Yep. Yeah. Caught him before he made it to Arizona, too.
Before the border. That sucks.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I waited in Arizona on the other side of the border for him, you know, because I took the first exit and waited for him. You know?
Oh, man. Well, that sucks. I don't feel so bad because, you know, I know I was going, because I forget what the speed limit was, probably 70 up there on the 93 going up north. I think it's 70. I don't even know. I was probably going 85. But I was above the speed limit, but I don't think I was going 92.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I don't know how they can
really. They got radar.
Well, I know, but is it accurate that he's cruising 80 going one way? I know he was going 80-something. Jeez. So I'm going to have to
fight it.
No, well, I got to. Guy, but I still got to pay the fine.
I got a guy.
Yeah. Have friends in low places.
I wish I had a better guy that could like wipe out the whole ticket. But
and you can't do online school anymore, I don't think, to get those points off.
Oh, you can't?
No way.
I don't think so.
Oh, man, don't bring that kind of bad news.
I have some friends who are complaining about it, so I don't know if that's true.
No.
Maybe it's other states. I'm not sure.
Well, I better check with this guy. I hope he's good.
Guy has good connections.
Oh,
wipe those points off, because those will cost you a lot.
In the long run, they will.
Oh,
they
do. Man. Let's move on to something else. I don't even want to think about. Now, I have to find out. So I didn't know that. I didn't hear about that. So it's possible. It's been a long time since I got a ticket.
Yeah.
I used to get them quite often, but it's been a while.
I got a ticket on December 31st at 3:30 in the afternoon for making a right-hand turn on a red where it was posted no right turns.
Awesome.
And I sure in the hell didn't see that no right turn sign. I was taking JJ home over by the auto mall.
And there was nothing posted?
Yeah, there was.
I didn't see it. Oh, no right turn on red or something.
Yeah, on the exit of Auto Show Drive. It's posted. No.
Was he behind you?
No, he came over the freeway. I didn't see him.
Oh, man.
I just was driving my truck, just like.
Bad timing.
Yeah.
Really bad timing.
Yeah, it was like bad timing for me. Get back to me. Well, because I had that feeling. You know, I was like, So, every time I'd see headlights coming towards, like, slow down. And then finally coming up closer to, it was 93 coming up, you know, from, like, the extraterrestrial highway up that way, back this way, towards the 15. I was like, you know, I slowed down. I don't know how many times when I seen headlights, no problem. So this time I was like, screw it. I just.
And this one time.
Yep. One time.
That's all it takes. One time.
Follow your instincts.
I drive like a grandfather anyway, so I'm never in danger of any of that kind of stuff.
Well, it's funny, like for me, and you drive all the time, but like going out that way, I'm fine. I drive the speed limit on it. Just on my way home, I'm like anxious to get back, I guess, or something, and I kind of push the limits a little bit. It has nothing to do with racing because I, yeah.
I got a ticket in Amboy.
Where?
For speeding. Amboy, California.
No.
You ever been to Amboy?
I've never heard of Amboy.
It's a two-lane road, and it's like in the middle of absolutely nowhere.
Yeah.
That's where you get the tickets.
Yep. I've never heard of Amboy.
Nothing to do
I got with. I got a ticket for doing 70 in a 65-mile-an-hour zone.
He gave you for 5 miles.
Yeah. No, she.
Oh, she. I'm not even going to comment on it.
And I did the online school and
got
the points taken.
Yeah, paid the fine. I don't know. The fine was $120 or something. And paid the...
You couldn't flirt your way out of that one?
I don't know.
Oh, come on, Gary.
Nope. Didn't even try. It was just like, give me my ticket so I can get home.
I know. I mean, what are you supposed to say? You know, thank you. That's why I always end up saying, like, why did I say thank you for this ticket?
And then, the cop handed me the ticket and said, see you later. I said, the hell you will.
Yeah. You better not.
Send in the check and be done with it.
That's right.
But they do close that road, the 93, for that highway race that they have once a year. It's between Lund and... There's a...
Yeah, they do. It's all the way...
It's a road race that they shut off the highway. Mm-hmm. There's that cutoff. When you take the extraterrestrial cutoff, then you head north. Instead of going through Kalyani, you go through that. They actually... I think it's from Heiko to Lund is the race, and they shut it off. They warn you a couple of months in advance. Because when I raced up there full-time in 06, there were signs all over saying that the road would be closed. You wouldn't be able to take it. And they actually have tons of cars that go down it.
They have all different kind of cars, too.
Right. Really fast cars with roll cages.
And road cars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just, you know, normal, you know, guys with Corvettes and Mustangs and stuff that want to do it. I guess they have different
classes.
There
was a guy on my team years ago that used to go up there every year and be a flagman for that race.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't remember what it was called.
I don't remember what it is. I just remember last time I was in Ely, one of the casinos had tons of pictures of the cars from that. So there's quite a few cars.
All kind of different road cars, like Corvettes and Mustangs and
everything. Sort of like a rally type thing that they have. Yeah. Just kind of point A to B, but I know that they go over 200 miles an hour in stretches of that thing, which kind of crazy, but it'd be kind of fun.
We should be in that race. What are we doing?
I don't know that I could do it. I don't know. I'd have to have a roll cage or something.
That's true.
I mean, that's farm country there. They have to have those flaggers because you don't want some cow to come out on the road or
farmer used to go up through there every year for 4 or 5 years in a row and flag up there at one of the corners. I don't know. He told me, but I don't remember.
I'm very familiar with that road. Every other weekend I was going to Elko to race in 2006, and that's how you get there.
That lonely road.
It's really lonely when all the people and animals in the truck are asleep. You know, you're the only one awake.
Where's my backup? Keep me awake.
All the way up there.
Yeah, that is a long drive. So driving up that way every other weekend, obviously you're doing points racing and stuff like that. You know, that is a long haul. Were there other guys that would go up with you, not just in your car, but like other race teams and stuff? Or just pretty much
there
you?
Weren't very many. I was going up there because of the points, of course. Point racing.
IMCA points.
Yeah, if anyone's thinking about racing for points, don't ever do it.
That's what Jay was talking about.
Purposely miss.
I stopped doing that myself.
Purposely miss races. Don't ever look at the sheets.
Yep.
It doesn't matter. All it's going to do is cost you money. But
and a lot of aggravation. So you point for point.
I had a lot of fun doing it. I have great memories and got to spend a lot of time with people that I care about and had some fun, but it was brutal. Not very many people were doing it. It was like a job. I was like a trucker because, like, that year I did over 30,000 miles traveling just to race.
Well, and you're driving and you're racing, so you're hauling your own car up there and all that. It's not like you have a driver or someone bring your car up there for you. You're doing the driving and driving when you get there.
Right. Trying to work and get off to go Friday nights and stuff like that to go race. But I had to, because the bonus structure was you got bonus points for track championships, and the tracks around here raced on top of each other, and you couldn't, it was impossible to win track championships at different places. So those tracks up there, all three of them worked together and never raced on top of each other, so I could go for all three, and that was how that was.
That's pretty nice, huh? Because you up there, I guess you're talking about, you said Elko.
Battle Mountain and Winnemucca.
That's
now they have, there's like six or seven. They have Reno Fernley, they have Fallon, they have Lovelock, they have Winnemucca, Battle Mountain, Elko. And I've seen online talks of opening back up the track in Hawthorne for a few races. There's a dirt track in Hawthorne.
Have you raced every one of those tracks?
I have raced every track in Nevada I've raced at.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We did talk about that before.
Yeah.
There was one, maybe it's Battle Mountain. I thought they closed for a little while. Is Battle Mountain up in the actual Reno area?
No, Battle Mountain's on the eastern side. It's between Winnemucca and Elko.
There was a little one near Carson City that I tried to find, and I think it had closed down. I can't remember the name of it for the life of me.
There's a pavement track that closed.
Oh, maybe that's the one.
Yeah, there was like Silver City or Silver.
Maybe.
It had Silver.
I don't remember how many years ago it was. I was up there. I was like, looking up some tracks, and I was like, I'm going to go try to find this one. And I drove, and I couldn't find it for the life of me, so
yeah.
I gave up.
Okay.
I was like, oh, man. But hey, it was just pavement anyways. You don't care about pavement. No.
I care about it. I liked pavement. I grew up on the dirt, though, so that was that's my thing. I started on the pavement.
Yeah.
It was horrible, horrible, horrible. So I convinced my dad to go to the dirt. He did not like the car being dirty at all.
That's
when I pulled in from backing. He was like, what is this? This is not right.
Who's going to clean it?
Uh-huh. He never did. He always found things to do.
I
was sit in a chair and tell you missed it.
Yeah, wait till it dries. It'll fall off.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, there's different tracks. We talked about this, I think, before, like different tracks with different type of dirt and all that. And I see a lot of guys like trying different formulas and things to try to spray on the car. Have you ever done that or found anything that really works, like WD or something that keeps the dirt off?
There's not anything magic that just makes it not stick. It's always going to stick. It's just how quickly it comes off. That cheap, it's like Pledge kind of stuff that they sell at Sam's Club in, 32 bottle things.
32
packages, yeah. They... my mom sprays out on the car before the car goes out, and that kind of makes it clean a little bit
fresh,
easier.
Right?
So it does smell like
lemon fresh, and it's clean.
Yeah.
I use Pledge on my Lexan. On the
she just wants you smelling good when you go out there.
And
all.
I definitely do. And you can definitely smell it in the
lemon
car.
Lemon fresh.
Definitely smell it in the car.
See, that's probably the secret that nobody knows about.
Uh-huh. Hey, now we're giving his secrets away.
Leave it to mom to come up with a secret that works.
Yeah. I need other people's secrets right now. I need to speed myself up.
Hey, speaking of you,
Uh-oh.
Of course, you still keep your website active, 87racing.com.
Fairly.
So we're going to push you to update it for 2016, okay?
All right.
And
that's one.
You going to plan on doing any racing coming up?
Yeah,
2016.
I was reading an article about, you need to set your resolutions as more or less and stop. So more racing is one of the resolutions. I need to just do it.
Well, I don't know why. That was going
to
be one of my questions, was your New Year's resolutions and if racing's going to be one of them. And obviously
I've been working on the car, getting stuff done, getting the body change and the vinyl on. Yeah, all that. And this is the first time I've actually done all the vinyl design, cut, tape, apply, everything all by myself, because I normally have Blake's help to put it on, because I don't have the patience to do it, nor am I...
I know what you're talking about.
Nor am I the skilled type to get everything lined up and not get it crooked, but took the time.
The
no curse words. It does look good in pictures. I have the 50-foot rule. If it looks good from 50 feet, that's all the...
That's what matters,
that's,
right? From
that's
the
all
fans.
The yeah. That's all the spectators are going to see anyway, mm-hmm. unless they really want to come close. And then I've said if they want to complain about how it looks up real close, I'll say, well, you can sponsor it. We'll look better.
There you go, uh-huh. Sponsors and volunteers.
Yeah,
right. Come on
you
over.
Can help me make it look better. I will certainly make it look better.
Looks good from the fourth row.
That's,
so that's one way to get sponsors, right? Come comment on my the looks of my car. Go ahead.
Yes. Tell me how ugly it is, and I will tell you how we can fix that.
Yep. Easy fix.
Yes.
It's all about money.
A few Benjamin Franklins, and maybe we can fix it.
And is it working on your own car by choice, or is it something just, you know, keeping your sanity, or it's hard to find the help, or...
It's probably all of the above. I didn't really.
And obviously, you're still working too.
Yes,
you have a
and
day
I didn't.
Job.
Yes, except for now, we have 2 weeks of winter break,
I know.
Which
so
is
you,
nice.
Well, yeah.
And I can get a lot done during
a teacher,
that.
Teacher, that's a perk. That,
it is a perk.
That,
it is a perk. One of the three good reasons to be a teacher.
Right.
Winter break, summer break, and spring break. Those are the three top reasons to be a teacher.
But then, during the times he is working, you got to wonder, why the hell do I do this? I'll speak for you.
On a daily basis. On a daily basis.
Anyways, I'm
but
sorry.
I do, I've learned to enjoy working on it a little more as I've gotten older. I really didn't care to work on it as much. I preferred the setup and the driving part of it, but it's got to the point where I pretty much have to because people have, you know, gone on with their lives
right, exactly.
and done other things.
Yeah,
and they
volunteers
have,
usually.
And I've been doing it for a while, so, I mean, it's like one of those things now to where, oh, you're going racing again? Oh, I'm going to go see a concert, which is totally understandable because life goes on. My life just hasn't gone on in that direction yet, so I'm still trying. I struggled for a while because I think I felt the pressure of, you know, I worked so hard to be good at what I did, and then it became obvious that I had dropped a few notches and wasn't as good as I used to be or as I thought I was, I guess. And I think the pressure got to me of thinking that I had to run up front every time, and I just took it too serious, got real down on myself over it, and just kind of lost interest. But I still like to compete. I'm very competitive.
Right.
I still enjoy that part. And I just have to come to the realization that sometimes you're just not going to be at the front, and it's tough. It's tough to do when you've worked really hard to get there, but you just kind of have to admit it, swallow your pride, and run fifth or run ninth or even worse.
Yeah. Well, you know,
use both hands to
exactly.
your position.
You know, but you know when you don't do it for points, let's say you know you work so hard at it when you're doing the points racing, but it shows obviously like anything else, you get out what you put into it. But at the same time, if you're not having fun doing it, then, you know, it's all work. And who wants to work and then go to work? You know, it's supposed to be for fun and all that. So
it's exactly, it's what I've had to learn over the last several years.
If you've been in the winner's circle plenty of times, it's mm-hmm. going to happen again. And some night it's probably just going to happen. You won't even know why. You're like, what the hell am I doing here? It just all worked out for me. You know?
Yeah, and that's going to happen. I think sometimes you just got to put yourself out there for a win to find you. But it was tough to get over that hurdle of the pressure of feeling like I had to do well. And pressure was mostly myself.
And you have a lot of eyes on you, of course. You know, been in IMCA and kind of known around dirt racing as being an upfront runner. So that is a lot of pressure. You, like you said, you got to think you have to perform, you know, and sometimes when you do that, it seems like you could overperform and start causing your own problems. And then
make
course,
it worse.
Exactly. And get more headaches.
And I let it get to me and affect my confidence. And I just pretty much started to not enjoy the racing at all. I mean, I would run what's considered fairly well and just be disgusted and, you know, throwing a tantrum or whatever and not really enjoying the moment. And I think that wasn't fair to the people around me because they're there to see me do well and, or just to see me race.
Yeah.
And I think I never really understood that people enjoyed watching me race.
Right.
I I have people that I enjoy watch racing.
Exactly. Whether they're up first or if they're fifth.
Right. Yeah, there's people that I just totally enjoy to watch them drive.
Right.
And I guess I just never really put that through my mind that these people just like to see me out there.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily need to see me at the front. And I think some of the pressure I was putting was just on myself.
Yeah.
It was no one else gave two rats about whether I finished first or six, they just kind of wanted to see my car going in circles for a while. So,
well, you know, it's been an icon in dirt racing. You know, when you see your 87N, you know, hey, Dan's out here. You know, you got somebody to cheer for or something like
or
that.
Or root against or boo.
What's this guy going to do now? No.
Jack wagon.
No, you know, it's fun to watch a familiar car show up at a track and just to have them there, you know, and like you said, maybe you forget that yourself, but, you know I look for certain cars when I go out watching races, and I know who I don't want to see, and, but sometimes you see them like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
There's going to be some wrecks tonight.
Yeah.
And
fans
the guys,
like to see those people show up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Fans like to see any wrecks until they have to pay the bill.
That's true. That's
yeah, exactly.
True. They have a real strange reaction to some of those. Some of them have really bad reactions. I have to look at them like, are you real? You were way too excited for that. I think the only thing that would have made it better is blood splurting out of somebody because they were really excited about that wreck.
I'm sorry to say this, but that is a kind of a guilty pleasure of mine to watch wrecks, but I don't like to see anybody hurt.
Yeah.
You know, I always like enjoy it more when I know, okay, the guy's walking, he's waved, he's, you know, whatever, and I'm like, all right, that was a good wreck.
Yeah. There have been some boozies around the tracks that I've been to.
Of course, 5 minute or you're in it or something like that. You're like, oh, this wreck sucks. But, yeah, cool. I mean, I'd love to see you race more coming up here in 2016. I hope to, you know.
Do you have somewhat of a schedule that you're...
I don't have anything right now. Like I said, I've just come to the realization that things have changed and I have to change. There are some tracks that I haven't been to that I would like to go to.
Cool.
It's just, again, trying to find the time and the way to get there. I like to be able to go and come back and not have to worry about hotel rooms and, you know, leaving the trailer in the parking lot of a hotel because I don't want to be part of those Facebook posts. All of my life was stolen out of the Motel 6 parking lot. You know, I feel terrible for those people, but I don't want to be in that situation, so I try to come back. So I've looked at tracks like Paris, California. I've never raced at Paris.
Cool.
The downside to that is it's in California 1, which you have to tow 60 miles an hour, so it takes
Gary's
you like...
Gary's got a place you could park your car for the night, right?
Well, it takes you 9 hours to get there because you have to go 60. And then the other downside is it's a half mile, and I raced on quarter-mile tracks growing up, and so, you know, a half mile to me just seems like a really long lap.
And that's a different strategy of racing, I would think, in a half mile versus a quarter mile with patience and passing and all that.
You ever been to Paris?
I have never been there. I've seen lots of videos and different things. Mm-hmm. They have a really cool, like, enduro cross have with their street stocks that they race through the infield.
So, some park in the infield and some park on the outside up in turn one and two.
Is it because they have a small pit area or they just an option?
No, just that's how many people are there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So they host a lot of sprint car races.
Right. It's
mostly
a sprint
car stuff. Yeah.
Right. It's mostly. And a track like that, a half mile racetrack, would showcase sprint cars with the speed and the downforce of the wings and things like that. So I've looked into races. There's a ton of racing around here. January and February, if you want to go down to Phoenix and Yuma, you can just race a lot.
There's a big Yuma race coming up at Kokopah.
Right. They have the sprint cars there first, and then the modifieds are a little bit later in the month, and then Phoenix has modifieds for I think somebody added up you could win $35,000 in January and February just down there.
Phoenix has a dirt track?
Phoenix has.
I didn't know that.
They have three. Well, the Phoenix area, Casa Grande is out, you know, out a little bit. I think it's about an hour out. And then Apache Junction.
Oh.
They have a new one, Arizona Speedway. And then Canyon Speedway, which is right by Lake Pleasant. Right. Kind of on the northwest end of Phoenix, I guess you'd say.
See how much I know. I have to go visit some of these tracks and just check it out. I didn't even know that.
They used to have a winter series at Canyon that was Saturday, Sunday during the day.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
All of January and February. And I used to go down there because you could go stay one night and then you could race the next day and come back.
That's cool.
You know, it would still be 11 or 12 o'clock at night when you got home, but you would
but
still
you got
at least
a couple of races in for the
right,
weekend.
Right, you had two. Yeah. It used to be the big thing. It's coming back. It's starting to make a comeback.
And those are IMC points races also. So
right.
You had two nights. See, and that's kind of, I don't understand how the IMC points work, but obviously you could race 10 races, I guess, in a month.
Yeah, they just count your best, I think it's, they used to count just your best 30 out of however many you did. And
okay.
There were people in Texas who could get 90 to 100 races in a
wow.
year. So then they lowered it down and started taking away. And I think it's, best 30 out of 55, it might be. Hmm. And so you get to a point where you're just trying to throw out races. So you've
wow.
got your 30 in and
I
you're
see.
Thinking, I need to be better than seventh tonight because that's my
oh,
worst
wow.
finish. And then there's times when you are down to throwing out second place finishes and you finish
yet.
Third and you think, well, I did absolutely no good for my cause here. It was a waste of nothing.
That sucks. That goes towards your like points average also for your starting position?
That's for the individual tracks.
Oh,
so you
I
have
see.
An average. Yeah, it's not a national average.
Okay.
It's just
I
a
see.
Track average. But, yeah, that's how they do the lineups in IMCA is the point average. So there's always an invert. And if you have the highest point average, you're going to start 10th, 11th, 12th every night in the future, which is good because I like to start at the back end.
You get more actual racing in that way, right?
Yeah, and you get to kind of check things out a little bit. You don't have to start on the pole and have
right.
half the field pass you on the high side halfway through the race and realize, oh, wait, I guess the high side came in while I was stuck to the bottom.
That's a good point. I guess on dirt, you kind of get a chance to watch the changing of the track as it comes in because it is going to change. Where asphalt, it seems more like, you know, it is what it is. You get some rubber laid on the track, but that's not as effective as, you know, the dirt changing. And
the dirt does change quite a bit. The pavement, I guess the pavement would get slicker. I've never been in a really long pavement race before, so I can't really say, you know, if the rubber builds up or the track changes in any way, loosens up, tightens up. I can't really say. I think the longest race I was in was 50 laps on the pavement, which... still a pretty long race.
Yeah,
that's a long. Not these 125, 150 lap races.
How's it for the bobbers? How does that change? the driver's patience change. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. More you're wondering who's dumping fluid.
I was going to say, because when I raced in hobby stock, the race was 50 laps, and the smells change through the race. You could start to smell, and... I've gotten pretty keen that I can smell pretty much any smell that's car related and tell you what it's coming from.
That's funny. You start seeing stuff on your windshield. Who's spraying? What, is this oil or water?
Yeah.
Right. What's supposed to be water?
Transmission, rear end.
Rear end is the worst.
Oh yes.
You don't want to. You don't want to have an enclosed trailer with a broken rear end because you've just ruined that trailer for life. I think it. Goes into all the
pores.
It is. It's impossible to get.
I know. It just sticks to everything. That sucks. Plus, means you had a problem on top of it that you got to fix.
Constant reminder of your problem.
Huh? Yep.
Then you got the trailer to clean up.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've seen a couple times on the track, and you know, once it, like, guys forget to put the plug in or something on the differential or something, and they finally, like, goes and you smell it and it's like that's not good. They're going to have a bad night. You know, speaking of the asphalt, you obviously in the past season worked at LVMS mm-hmm. doing some calling on the track. You plan on doing that this year coming up in 2016?
Yes, that's a plan to be
plan on it.
to work in the tower. Rough job.
Rough job. Yeah, I don't know what to say because I know
Tim Richter is looking in the sky saying thank you.
Exactly right. He's got somebody else to kind of let them take that brunt of the
which is part of my transformation with my own racing. Is it's given me some perspective because I also went and worked in the tower at Pahrump one of the nights later on this year.
Wow.
And it's given me a new perspective on things.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, I definitely won't say anything ever again. Official related. I just need to. It just changed my perspective a lot. It's definitely not a perfect science.
And that's probably a unique perspective that you're getting because a lot of guys don't get that opportunity to see what you're seeing at your angle and all that. And obviously you can't catch everything. It's like an official or an umpire or anything like that in any sport. You can't see everything, can't be everywhere at all times, but you do the best you can.
There's just a lot going on. It's not an excuse or any of that. There's just a lot going on. There's scoring. There's an announcer in there. There's people who have to do the interviews on the racetrack. There's the Tech Barn is calling for results and different things. So there's a lot going on in that room that I never would have imagined.
Right, I can imagine.
And like you said, you can miss something really quickly. And my experience in a car, I've had, arguments with my crew because I was in the car. I was racing. And they come off and they're fire-breathing mad because so-and-so just kept bumping you. And they were bumping you the whole race. And no one did anything. And we're mad.
Right.
And I say they never hit me.
Right, I was in
the
car.
They hit you so hard 3 or 4 times in this turn. No, they didn't. Right. Yes, they did. Well, let's go check out the bumper. Nothing, a mark on the bumper.
That's funny.
And, so from that perspective, I know that sometimes things in the car are totally different than what appear on the outside. So it's really difficult to do that. It's really difficult to try and figure out what happened when you're not in it. I mean, when I'm in it, sometimes I don't know what happened.
Oh, exactly.
Only so much you can see and only so much you can experience. So there have been times when I've been in a big accident somewhere and come out of it and say, what actually
happened?
I don't even know who did what. And, then everybody, there's 6 different versions of what happened. And
that's the problem.
None of them could have happened together because they're all different. So you never know. You just kind of take it in stride and go on.
Well, and I guess aside from what some other racers' beliefs are, there's nobody swaying you to make one call or the other. It's a legitimate, I'm watching the race, something happens, and this is what I see. There's nobody saying, hey, we got to sway it this way or that way. There's none of that going on like some people might think.
And at times, nobody wants to even touch it. So you're the only one there. You have to do something. And
that sucks.
And that's
too,
the perspective I have also is that I don't know that anyone wants to be in that position. The best races are when everything just goes green to checker. And, I try to convey sometimes that if you do what you're supposed to do, you don't hear from me ever again.
Right.
And it's hard. It was hard for me to get past that too. And it's hard for all of us. When something happens, it takes away all your control and puts it into someone else's hands.
Right.
It's just like in school with kids that misbehave or start to get into a fight or something. As soon as they take an action, then that takes the control away from them and puts it into somebody else's hands. And there's always going to be someone upset.
I mean, almost, just,
I think we were talking beforehand about the basketball. You know, the two players run into each other on the basketball court. The whistle blows, and everybody's on the edge of their seat. Some are waiting to cheer, and the other half are ready to roar out of their seat, saying, go back to Foot Locker or something, you know, whatever they say these days. That's the clean version, anyway.
It's funny how you can have the same one thing happen, but have different views of that incident. You know, it's just crazy, you know, how people perceive things or see things differently.
Right,
off the one event.
And not being in the car is impossible. You know, there have been times when somebody's foot has slipped off the gas in one of my races, and I plowed into the back of them, and I'm like, I don't know, I'm sorry, I don't know what happened. Oh, my foot slipped off the gas, or my carburetor loaded up. And, you know, then there's times where you blow it. You're a human, and you thought you could fit, and the car was a lot wider than you thought it was, and you spun that guy out.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's where you're eating the crow.
Exactly. And you know what? As long as you know you did that and you can admit to it, then you're the better person, you know, because some guys do that crap and they don't even know they're doing it. Those are the guys you got to watch out for.
Yeah. Right. Or then you got the other ones that they're okay, and then when they get in the car and put the helmet on, they're like, they forget everything that was ever said.
I remember, I think it was on a practice night, maybe Tim Richter had his modified out there. It was nice white. It was fairly new. He had it out at LVMS, and I had gone out there. I, you know, wasn't that experienced in the modifieds, but I just bought Mark Allison's one, and, you know, at the time they were racing I think it was the IMC rules on the asphalt, and man, I plowed into the back of Tim Richter so hard. I was like, oh, crap. It was my fault because he was braking to go in, and I didn't, you know. And by the time I got on the brakes, I just plowed him, and he went up towards the wall. Luckily, he didn't hit the wall. I was like, oh, crap. So I went up after. I said, hey, I'm sorry. And of course, he was pissed. He was a man. He didn't say nothing. I forget what he said.
To you.
Yeah, to me. I'm sure he said a lot in the car.
Yeah, your ears were
but more or less, he probably said, I'll get you on the track. Don't worry. Uh-huh. He didn't say that, but that's what I felt.
And then narrowed it down.
So
it's a lot to ask, though. I mean, sometimes there's 24 cars on the racetrack, all set up different, all
absolutely
trying for the same spot, drivers who are all human, who make mistakes, and it's a lot to ask for nothing to happen.
Now, does that work into how you're looking at a race, is knowing the different drivers and how they drive, like how, let's say this guy, you know, drives in deep, this guy slows down, you know, and you're watching and you know that this is not, let's say he does run into somebody, you know, this guy just how he drives, his driving habits, or he drives in deep and he's kind of getting into the bumper of this guy or something. Does that come into play when you make a call, like whether it was intentional or not? You know, just,
I don't
example
know. I wasn't there enough to make, you know, generalizations about the way people drive. The problem that I find is that medium of when I race, I know those things about certain racers. I know who is going to race me in really hard. I know who is going to probably tag me going in if I don't go in hard enough. Out there, it's, you know, you just try and
you
go for a clean, fair,
just
you just try and look
clean
for a clean, fair race. And you're really just hoping that everyone shows each other respect, stays off each other, gives each other a lane to race fair so that things like that don't determine the outcome of the race, and that setup and strategy and the driving of the car actually, you know, creates that. I know that the fans enjoy the rubbing and the bumping, and you know, you can talk to three different drivers, and you will hear three different things.
True.
I prefer the races to be clean, and I'm no angel. I'm tarnished as well. I'm sure there are certain drivers you could talk to who can't stand me, but I try and be clean on the racetrack. I don't want to have the contact be the reason that I was able to get by somebody. I want to be able to get by them clean. But I also want to be raced fair as well. If I'm on your inside, I should be able to stay on your inside. And I, you know, you try your best, and it's not a perfect science. It's very difficult. there's a joke that, you know, in the tower you can see everything and nothing at the same time. You know, you're
right.
You're trying to watch everything. You're trying to glue your eyes and go back and forth like a tennis match, trying to keep track of all the corners. Right. And there's people helping and saying, yeah, you know, watch this car on this one. And so, well, you're trying to watch. And as soon as you think everything's,
yeah,
going fine, then all of a sudden three cars are spun out. And no one saw it, and it's frustrating.
Because they were watching that one.
And it's just, like I said earlier, it's not an excuse. It's just,
sure,
a lot of things happen. Mm-hmm. And it opened my eyes quite a bit. It really opened my eyes quite a bit.
And you're not the only eyes out there,
no,
either, are you?
No,
you have the guys in the turns that watch also, and
right,
they radio.
And you know, they have jobs to do as well. You know, some of them are tech officials, and when a race is over, they're having to tech cars so that people aren't out there till 2 or 3 in the morning. Someone's on track entry. If a car comes off and has to change a flat tire, they're trying to come back on. So obviously they're not watching there. You know, the best effort is made to do the best thing. But like I said earlier, there's no best. Best is such a relative term.
Well, you know, and as a racer, you know, you hope that all racers understand that too. Hey, we're all doing the best we can. You're doing the best that you can racing. We're doing the best officiating or you know, calling calls and so on. And if everybody kind of was on the same page, then we wouldn't have these screaming matches, right?
Right. And we're all built differently emotionally.
Human nature,
you know,
is part of it.
Right.
So.
Emotionally, there's some people who, you know, I take JJ, for example.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's pretty mellow, but he can get fired up.
Absolutely.
I have myself gotten fired up. And then there's others who take everything in stride, and I think you could take them out 3 feet from a win, and they would say, oh, well, I'll try again next time.
Yep.
And then there's others that you bump them on a restart, and they're ready to tear your head off, and they'll wait for you and dump you. So you're trying to deal with all of those things. It's definitely different than what I had anticipated. It's to say it's worse than teaching the Irish.
That's tough because you're
really
close.
They're really close.
You're going to get to work,
definitely,
man.
A job. The cool thing is there's a lot of people who are involved in allowing people to do what they should love to do anyway. I mean, there's a lot of people who work really hard to make sure that, you know, the cars are scored, the cars are teched, the cars are checked in, that lineups are done, that, you know, everything is the cars are lined up correctly under yellow. There's a lot of people that work hard for people to be able to enjoy their
sport. That's a good point. You know, we get caught up, you know, JJ and Gary on their own team and stuff. We all get caught up in what we do. We forget how much goes into, like what you guys do to make it smooth for the rest of us.
Right.
You know, like you said, there's a team of you, a crew of people that are doing things, and, you know, you guys probably don't get the thanks you deserve for it, that's for sure.
Unfortunately, some of the people take the wrath for me because I'm in the glass tower up there, and they're down when you guys come into the pits,
and
they're upset,
not like
spitballs
on the glass, no wads of paper on, no.
After teaching for 20 years, I thought that no one could call me a name that I had never heard before, and apparently that was not true.
You learned a few.
I was called a few new ones, and I...
Expanding your vocabulary, that's good.
I was number one because they can see into the tower out there, so they can turn around and tell me exactly what they think. And you know, I had to tell myself that's what it's going to be like. And
that's not just JJ saying that stuff.
I get that teaching, so you can't. You're nothing.
Yeah, you can't scare me. I teach.
Well, we want to say thank you personally from us. And that's why we have the barbecue every year, is to thank you guys, thank the racers, everybody, and try to bring them all together. And that's something that we have coming up February 21st. It's on a Sunday, so no racing excuses. Unless you're going racing Sunday up at somewhere. So be there.
Sure, race somewhere.
You know, everybody's welcome. You don't even have to stay. You can come by, just grab a hot dog. And it's going to be at Sunset Park. Last year, it was such a beautiful day. There's plenty to do there. You can hang out. You don't have to hang out. You can go enjoy the park, whatever you want to do. We're going to be there from 10 o'clock on February 21st, and it's a racer's barbecue. Our second annual. We hope to be doing this every year, and you know, and just for everybody to kind of kick off the season and enjoy each other before the season starts.
It's a nice thing. There needs to be some camaraderie going around.
Yeah,
and
that's what we're trying to do.
When you're racing against these people on a weekly basis, you should be able to hang out and just have some fun and smile. Yeah,
exactly. And kind of a non-official area to be talking about crap that happened, too, if you want to talk about it.
Right. And I think it's good anytime racers can come together outside of the racetrack and do things. I mean, even at school, teachers, you know, we volunteer at Three Square and go do that. It's nice just to see teachers out of their element, people that you work with on a daily basis. It's nice just to see them in a different setting where you're not having to talk about kids, you're not having to talk about the upcoming test or the standards or any of that. And same thing here, you're not having to talk about the rules or the race last week. You can just go and
talk about,
have a burger and a hot dog or something and enjoy the nice day out before the hard work of the season begins.
Exactly, because it's coming. You know, you talk about last season and stuff and how hard it was, but you're willing to go back into it this year and enjoy a new race season. So we're looking forward to that. Hopefully you don't get screamed at as much and the whole crew up there.
I know that's not going to happen. That's nice of you too.
We know all the races are going to be calm and easy this year, and the races are going to go without caution.
Green to checker. No tire marks, no rough marks.
Here's how you solve that. You have 6-lap races every race.
I don't think that would work.
3 laps, green, white, checker every race.
I think the only way to stop it is to transform circle track racing into drag racing somehow, and you finish how you qualify.
There you go.
But that wouldn't be very entertaining. I don't think too many people would enjoy that.
Well, as an official, I think you'd love it. Sorry about that.
Well, I still enjoy it. The people that I work with are great people who have the best intentions, and racers out there are some of the best.
Yeah,
They're some of the best racers. I mean, you see it when the late model or super late model open comp came.
Absolutely.
There were some of the local racers that were right up front. Granted, it's at their home track, but there was some talent all the way through that field, and our locals held their own. So, you know, there's so much history with some of the racers out there. Some of them have been around through all the racetracks locally. Quite a few personalities, quite a few youngsters coming up. It's fun to be out there and to be able to see that, you know, trying to make that transition from my own racing in or out. Where do I want to go? We joke about how bad it is and, like, you know, you don't want to be the one to make the call, but somebody has to. So for now, I'm there.
What you've done last year and what Tim's done and everybody out there at the track has done at LVMS. Of course, you can go to LVMS.com, find out more, and click on whatever track. But what a difference you do see in the whole season, how smooth, you know, things have gone from the, you know, the safety crew all the way up to, you know, the announcers and everybody like that. It's just, it's really good to see as much progress that track has had in the last few years. You know, there are a lot of us, I don't know about you, but I know Gary and a lot of us have at some point been so pissed off we want to boycott the track or not go, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, it's good to see the progress that's taking place right now. I think it's all in the right direction. So,
It's really tough to have a racetrack. You know, when you said you were angry and wanting to boycott, I've been angry at racetracks myself before and wanted to go find another place to go. And I've raced enough racetracks to know every place has its issues.
Exactly.
If you're there long enough, you're going to find an issue somewhere.
Right.
You know, there's times when I had that, I don't know, honeymoon complex where I would go to a racetrack one time, have a fairly good run, and things went smooth, and I'm thinking, oh, this is the best racetrack ever. And then the next time I go and the bottom falls out, and I'm thinking, why did I drive 7 hours to come to this place? I could have done this at home. So, I mean, it's six of one, half dozen of the other.
Right.
It's a it's the nature of the beast. I know what the drivers go through to work on their cars all week to get to the racetrack, because I do that myself and have done it for a long time. And now I'm starting to understand the other side of what goes on. Right. And it's just really difficult because there's so many emotions, so much involved, money, time,
oh, yeah,
efforts, just so much emotion involved. And it's kind of good and kind of bad at the same time. You know, you could see people get really excited, and yeah, then you could see people get really excited. So it's just, it's new. It's still new for me. So
that's cool. Hopefully some of that rubs off on other people, racers and you know, officials alike, that you be able to see all angles of it. And, you know, and like you said, you got money involved and time and all this, and that's when the excitement, you know, whether it's good or bad, happens, you know.
And we
do
it
have a lot invested in racing from all angles.
Exactly. So. I mean, we do it because we're competitive.
Yeah,
we,
exactly. Well, that's
we don't want,
we're all
don't
out
want
there because
to,
we're competitive.
Yeah, we don't want to lose. We don't want to get spun out. We don't want to have anything go wrong. We want it to all be
perfect. I mean, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. We are all like a special breed, I think, that have a glutton for punishment, but at the same time, like that competitive nature of racing. So
some of them might call it insanity.
It's a little
because
insanity.
Because we keep going, expecting something else to happen.
Our sanity is the insanity, right?
Yeah, it is. It is.
All expect a different result of the same thing.
I know. There's 24 people in the race all expecting the same thing
to
happen.
Right. Every single one of us are right. Mm-hmm. Right? We are. Hey.
And in a way, you are. I mean, you live in your own bubble, and that's how it works out, I guess.
It's crazy. I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping to do some racing this year. Last year, I said I was going to. Didn't make as much of an effort. I think we'll have to set a better resolution for this coming up 2016 and kind of stick to it. So with your resolution, doing more races, I mean, do you have any, like, in particular, like, I want to make 6 races, or I want to make certain tracks, or I want to do this, or is it kind of vague still, like, I want to race more this year?
More is a relative term.
Exactly.
I didn't race as much last year, but I think I just want to do better than what I have been doing. There have been times when the car was ready, everything was ready.
Do you work out of your house, or do you have
out of my house? Yeah,
that makes it
out of
a little easier, I think.
So-called 2-car garage,
right,
that barely fits the race car and spare tires.
I know how that goes. Trust me.
But I think I just want to do better. I want to and not performance-wise, myself-wise. There's times when I had the car ready, loaded, sometimes, and I would change my mind and say, no, I'm not going to go. So I would unload everything
right,
and stay home.
Well, I know we're running out of time, so I know we're going to have you on more
next year.
Show.
Next
year we'll have you on. But do you think some of that effort, not effort, getting to the track, but is technical too, like the cars have evolved, the IMCA cars have evolved beyond what where you left off? Is that part of it?
I think that's quite a bit of it.
Okay.
The technology has changed. The setups have changed quite a bit.
Setups, shock technology, it just angles and things they're doing differently now.
Right. I mean, the 750-pound springs in the right front were, you know,
that would be what we ran.
And
right,
now they're dragging the right front around the turns because they have such soft springs in there.
Yeah,
and
crazy.
Things are a lot different. Shocks are much more important than they used to be. I mean, you can spend $1,500 to $2,500 on a shock package for your car, and when it makes that much of a difference,
that's
and
true,
you know, the technology is just so much more available,
right,
that everyone's fast.
Well, don't want to cut you off there. Of course, we only got about 90 seconds left, so we want to be able to say, you got any sponsors real quick, or just you come out?
Well,
you know,
I have a lot of help from Jerry Busick and Fat Chassis, and Jerry Busick Sr. helps out with, even though I run a crate, he still helps me with engine issues and things. And then the Isleys in Iowa, they help me out a lot. And then, of course, my mom and Blake are always at the track, help me out whenever they can.
Cool deal. Of course, we're out of time. Of course, go to 87racing.com. Make sure you look for Dan Fitzgerald's schedule this year. We're going to be rooting for him. We want to make sure you get out racing this year. Want to wish everybody a happy new year for 2016 and say goodbye to the woes of 2015 and look forward to a great 2016.
Start fresh. Future wins and 2016 to everybody.
There you go. Appreciate it. We'll see you. Yeah. See you next Tuesday at 6 p.m. Thank you. Next year.
Thanks for listening.
This is Chet Christopher with Speed Shift TV, and you're listening to OnWheelsNow.com.